Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It's the build-up show, Liverpool, Burnley. I am joined by Chris, by Ben and by Matty for this one. Chris, Burnley away.
Yay!
It's Monday we're recording this. I'm not ready to stop talking about Everton, if I'm perfectly honest. I'm still absolutely on cloud nine from that. And the idea of having that not be the pinnacle of the season is very weird. This not being near the be-all and end-all of life. The season isn't over. We have got to go back to a place where we did something very similar to how the weekend's action ended. You know, it took a very, 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 very late, very dramatic New Year's Day winner there. It made us golden with Jurgen Klopp because he watched us celebrating that and all that kind of stuff.
And Tom dropping his burger.
And Tom dropped his Big Mac on the floor when he was heartbroken. Ultimately we were elated. It'd be nice for this not to be another one of those hard-fought games.
If you know that you're going to score a last minute win, now I'll take it.
Yeah.
No, but you're right, Paul. I think, you know, we want to go back to beating teams comfortably, don't we? And I think that's hopefully what Liverpool can do. You know, there's a bit of euphoria around us at the moment. Obviously, the way you get the result against Everton at the weekend, that will put a spring in the step of everyone in that side. And hopefully we're able to take that on and use that against Burnley. And not just Burnley, through this spell of games, that confidence should be there now. It's like Robbo said that after the Everton game, you know, we don't know when we're beat, and what a great quality to have in a side, you know. And you know, we're lucky enough to be able to watch this side twice a week for the next few weeks and stuff. And knowing that they believe themselves they're not beaten, that it doesn't matter what the score is, we're going to keep fighting till the end. And hopefully, we don't have to use that against Burnley. But if we need to, we will absolutely fight tooth and nail for everything.
Yeah, we've started this testing period. It is what it is. Two Premier League games in a week coming up, two away games. Obviously, Bournemouth coming up at the weekend, followed by Napoli on the horizon, obviously. And we've got Man United on the horizon, all these kind of things. We started to see a lot of rotation. We started to see Liverpool really struggle a bit at times during this stage of the season. I think the derby thing, although we are seconds away from that being a really disappointing result, just seeing the impact of Divock Origi, seeing the impact of Daniel Sturridge, you can look at them in a positive light. And I can go into this game feeling, I don't know about yourself, but feeling like, yeah, we've got stuff off the bench. Even the players we thought were not necessarily great options off the bench 48 hours ago, I'm a load happier to have them involved.
Yeah, definitely. And when something like that happens, it gives you a boost for this whole period anyway. You know, Divock Origi world of good. You know, he had a tough season last season on loan, and now he's been pretty much forgotten this season. And to come on and do that, you know, he'll now have real belief that he can get more minutes on the pitch and he can offer more to this team. And look, that I'm okay with that. You know, go across the next few weeks in particular. You know, we've got some really tough games. We've got Wolves coming up as well. You know, there are games where you feel that he may become a more relevant and more of an option. Yeah. And that's what's important.
Well, it's worth remembering, Matty. Dom Solanke started this game for Liverpool at Turf Moor last year. Now, of course, that came as on New Year's Day. But I would say towards the head of the ridiculous spell of games in terms of like it being the fixtures being quite congested. But you know, Divock Origi's playing himself. You know, he scored his way into contention a little bit. We saw him a little cameo in Belgrade and what have you. What are your thoughts on him? We did a lot on Everton in the final word and what have you. But I don't want to get carried away because it's a late substitute and it's a goal. But this is like Klopp was very glowing in his praise, talking about him, how outstanding he was prior to his injury in that, you know, the Europa League run and what have you.
He said outstanding, didn't he? And I think we all felt exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, so where do you stand on it? Is this, would you be putting him straight into the team? Is this another opportunity to see him off the bench? Or God, is he just, you know, Jordan Henderson's back available? He just disappears off the bench altogether.
Yeah, I mean, prior to the Everton game and you know, the cameo appearance in Belgrade, it was, to me, it was like, move him on. You know, if, as soon as we get a reasonable offer, move him on and make your money back and maybe a bit more. And you know, I've never doubted his ability, and I've never doubted his technical ability and his physical ability. But there's always, when he went to Wolfsburg, he wasn't prolific. There was nothing. He never kicked on. And then when he came back, he hasn't barely had a look in, has he? So it's been one of those situations where you're weighing up whether it's worth the risk putting someone out the side to try and increase his value and maybe have him cement his place in the team further down the line. So I still haven't changed my mind or totally decided yet, and I wouldn't put all my eggs in the basket of,
Go on.
I've had an interesting thought over the last 24 hours, not prior to that, of course, but the one thing that I would say is when we were playing that Europa League run, we were certainly playing that 4-2-3-1, and we saw him do all right on the wings sometimes. We saw him do all right up front, but there was always question marks over whether he could do both. Now I look at the way we're playing in this 4-2-3-1, and I start to think about Roberto Firmino and how he's joining up with the attack from that. It's a different side. It's not last season's side that he's trying to break into, where you'd have to play Roberto Firmino's role. It's very, very different. Think of what Mo Salah was doing during that game of footy yesterday against Everton. You think lots of back to their goal, lots of defenders hanging off him. And I think to myself, actually, that's a bit more suited to Divock.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether Divock's thinking, I want Sturridge's place. And then if I get Sturridge's place, where next?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he might now see a route into this side, and we might just see his performance have a go off because of it.
Daniel Sturridge doesn't really fit in the 4-2-3-1 either, because again, he's not robust enough to lead the line, and he never has been. He's never worked as a one. He's worked when he had pace. He worked playing off, and he could drift around and what have you. I'd see him similar to, you know, playing ten-ish, 9.5-ish kind of thing, which I think he started to develop into. And you know, I'd not considered it from that perspective. I think Dom Solanke's probably more of a physical specimen, isn't he? But Origi looks the full. I mean, he's only 23 still as well. You know, it's mad to think. It feels like he's been around forever. We signed him very young. You know, he scored double figures goals in his first couple of seasons. No one's ever accused him of Origi being prolific for Liverpool, by the way. But, you know, I actually look into it. I think he's got his goal contribution, something like a goal or an assist every 130 minutes for Liverpool, which is not great, but it's not bad. It's not bad, and so, you know, I think there's something to that, the 4-2-3-1. When you say the last time we played that was in the Europa League run, I wouldn't want to say Liverpool start Divock Origi every week now because he scored a freak goal against Everton in the derby.
We didn't have the pace on the wings back then or anything, did we? You know, not in the same way that we do now. It's a very, very different side. And I do feel like he could force.
And he's not a one-trick pony either. You know, he's not just the... Like, Dom Solanke to me seems a bit... Not to say that he's not going to be a good player, but in terms of his ability and his body and stuff like that, he seems a bit more one-dimensional. You know, he hasn't got that blistering pace. Origi's shown he's got the pace, he's got the physicality, you know, and he has shown he's got decent technical ability. So it's not just a case of could he play up front, it's a case of, well, if Mane needs a rest or if Salah needs a rest, can you put him out in a bad position?
Sorry, Ben, I think that notion of look at the closing stages of that match, and he drifts out wide, he rolls Mina, sends him down the line and smokes him. And Ben, this is the issue we've got, I think, is that we've got some great pace in that side all over the place, but like Firmino's not fast and Sturridge isn't fast. And Shaqiri's nippy, but if you're starting Shaqiri, Salah and Mane, well, there's all your pace on the field. And I don't think it really is the finished article, but you know, we saw in his positioning for the hitting the woodwork and for getting the initial goal, he is a poacher as well. He is a goal scorer. He's not a great goal scorer. He's not even a scorer of great goals, although I would argue that, again, the derby weirdly comes into that category. But we're not going to sit here and say he's boss, but or amazing or world class or yada yada yada. And will he get binned off? He'll probably get sold in January all the same. But
offers you a different option.
But he's going to get. He could get an opportunity.
The problem that we've got is, I mean, it could work on both sides. So first of all, Firmino isn't in great form for me at the moment. So there's potentially an opportunity for him if he can get a little run together. But the problem is, it is every game is so key. Where do you do it? If you play a weekend side, even against Burnley, and you drop 2 points there, that is so massive in what we are trying to achieve this season. So suddenly you're looking at the cups. So the FA Cup draws tonight.
Yeah.
So who do we draw in the cup? And then suddenly you get Man United away in the cup, and we're out there for whatever, you know, and then he lost his opportunity there. So you've got to rely on the FA Cup if we're going to keep him. For me, I'd love to explore the idea. I really would. But I just don't know if we can afford to do it.
Well, let's look at it from this perspective, because I think you're right. I don't think anyone here is going to say, right, there you go, he's nailed on, let's start Origi. And having seen your preferred 11s, I know that to be true. Spoilers, by the way. But look at the bench, Chris. Dom Solanke or Divock Origi on the bench?
Right now, mm-hmm. Origi.
Mm. And this is the thing, is that, you know, we talked about this on the Final Word show. Ings is having a decent season for Southampton. Hopefully they get an actual good manager now that Hughes has gone. But, you know, one goal last season, Solanke, one goal last season, Sturridge scored more and he only played for us for half the season. Origi, as much as he's had a troubling time and he's not kicked on at all, he does know where the back of the net is. He has scored Premier League goals. Again, he's got 22-something goals, I think. Or he scored, you know, in all competitions, OK? But he has scored a lot more Liverpool goals than Dom Solanke has. So we're not a worse side for having him as an option. It should be considered.
Absolutely, and we've got the right manager for that, haven't we? He's proven time and time again that if you're in the squad, he will use you. There is no sort of hangers on. Or maybe Lazza.
Lazza's watching this going, oh, come on!
But that's great man management, isn't it? He said it himself, Jürgen, if they're in my squad, I am going to use them.
Yeah.
Because I believe in them, they wouldn't be here.
Not going to cry ass about players that he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like that. I like that point on the formation thing. It is very, very interesting. Like I said, we're into this period now where Solanke got a lot of game time last season. And look, we're gonna have to rely on squad. You know, we're playing, you know, two games a week now. It's all going very, very thick and fast. If nothing else, not necessarily to start, but you know, taking players off. We all looked at the players who came off against Everton and kind of winced a little bit and finishing the game without Salah and Firmino, etc. But if you want them to take to the field, if you want a good 65, 70 minutes out of those players, and that's always going to be preferable. So, you know, we're going to have to use these guys. Hopefully, Origi becomes an option. Anyone else in terms of rest and rotation? Matty, what do you think about Keita? Surely time for him to get a start.
I said last game, I think it would be an ideal game to get him involved. And he was only subbed on later on, I believe. And this game, it's another game where I'll say I think it's an ideal game for him to be involved. I mean, Burnley's run of form is poor, to say the least. And they're not the greatest dribblers, they're not the greatest passers. You know, I think I checked the stat before, they had 77 attempted long balls against Crystal Palace, right? Which means they're not looking to play through midfield.
Contextualise that for me, what's that like for an all? What do we play?
I'll tell you this, Palace had about 35, 40, if my memory serves me correctly. So almost double what Palace had, mm-hmm. And Burnley had less possession than Palace, so that gives you some context.
Okay.
So I think it'll be an ideal game for Keita if he gets the chance, because it'll give him time on the ball, it'll give him time to get used to the physicality of the Premier League without the intensity. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you've got a solid midfield around Keita as well, then you can't really go wrong, can you? And plus, it's not as though Keita's a youngster that we're trying to blood into the squad. He's proven himself, do you know what I mean? He proved it in the Bundesliga, which isn't an easy league. Mm. You know, so I genuinely can't see how he could not play this game.
It keeps coming back to this thing, isn't it, Ben? We've said this for a few weeks now about players. Until we see Keita in this side from the start, it's hard to know where he fits in to this side. Because, he was in the three, in the more attacking three, wasn't he, toward the end of the derby at times. But that's Liverpool going for it. Liverpool trying to make things happen toward the end of the game. It makes sense that he should be able to play in the two. But then is that the big question becomes, if you're going to start Fabinho, do you want? Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to put all of our faith in the two new lads, keeping the midfield?
We've got to at some point. I mean, well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, he spent what, nearly 100 million quid between the two of them. Yeah. You know, you've got at some point go. They are players who, in theory, should be able to work well together in the field in terms of Keita should be able to push on while Fabinho sits back and does the dirty work. Keita's capable of doing that sort of the stuff as well. So in theory, you know, that should be our first choice midfield for me going forward. This is one of those games for me. Fabinho was excellent yesterday, I thought, mm-hmm. and I think he's now playing himself into a bit of form. He's getting himself up to speed. So for me, he starts. But also, it's not like we're dropping in Keita into like a game that is, you know, the point I'm getting at is he's already done Crystal Palace, which is notoriously one of the tougher away games over the course of the season. Burnley is up there for me as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're just dropping him in a really, you know, he's got experience in this type of proper, I don't know why, proper English league away game, you know, one of them really tough ones. And I think, you know, if we drop him in tomorrow, I think he can use that experience and push onward, I think.
Because you've been to Palace away, you've been to Burnley away. Does that tally up?
Absolutely.
For you?
Yeah, I think it has been a tough place to go to. Dyche has managed to get points almost out of nothing with spending no money. They're such a well-organised side. But I'm with Ben completely. I want to see the two of them in the midfield together. I want to see that balance because I think we all think of Fabinho as a destroyer, and I think there's much more to his game than that. And I think when you pair the two of them together, and I said it before the season, Paul, they'll revolutionise our midfield. And I think if there's one area of the pitch that's maybe been a little bit disappointing,
revitalisation and renovation and upgrades,
it's the midfield,
and all that.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. Well, you're dead right in that regard. You know, we spent the money on the attack over a couple of seasons in Matt Manny and Salah. We've upgraded the defence, goalkeeper. We're still waiting to see what this new look midfield looks like. And we said this for weeks. We can't quite fathom. I don't think what our team is going to look like in April, May. I think it's gonna look massively different. I mean, we've already seen a shift in formation. We're starting to see what Fabinho can bring. It'd be very, very exciting, and I think we are. I think we need that. I think we need. I think we're due an exciting performance from Keita, to be honest. I think he's been fine, hasn't he? I think it's hampered slightly by the fact that the last we saw of him in a start was in away at Napoli when we were dog shit. And he was shit as well before having his back spasm or whatever. So I think it's kind of tainted people's thoughts on him. But I really want to see that drive and force. I think that's going to be the big difference. We were getting asked by the Toffee TV lads, like, what's happened to you? Why have you changed the formation? Why are you doing this? And that's just saying, we just don't have that guy who's linking the midfield to the attack well enough. And that's why we've had to rejig things around. I mean, it could be the case that we switch to back to 4-3-3 again if we know the Keita's fit and ready to start, because that's what the midfield was starting.
I think all of this has come around from Shaqiri's performances. I can't see the Klopp bought for this 4-2-3-1. I really can't, because I feel like he'd have bought another striker in the summer. I really do. If Firmino was never going to be your number nine again and Salah was your number nine, then you maybe spend a bit more than Shaqiri. Because, listen, I love Shaqiri. There are better players out there.
Yeah.
There are better players who play that right wing position than Jadon Shaqiri for 13 million. So it feels like his performances have pushed Jürgen into continuing with this front three.
And maybe, to some extent, Henderson's fitness. Maybe. and having to probably push Fabinho in maybe a bit sooner. There's a couple of we've had to accommodate players, I guess, is what you
That's it. And you know, Naby Keita, can he play the 10? Does anyone think he can play the 10?
We'll
come on to preferred 11s on that in a minute, but it would be a fascinating thing to see in that regard. But again, this thing, I'm excited for this game. I'm excited for every game, to be perfectly honest. Excited, nervous, trepidatious, all those things. Because, as Ben says, they all mean so much. The more we see, the more having as many players available to us and then seeing how we put them on the pitch is going to give us the real clear indication of things. Because you can always, so far, you've been able to say, well, we eased Henderson back into the season, which is why Gini started, and Fabinho wasn't ready, which is why Gini started. Well, hang on, Fabinho's sort of up to speed now. So is Fabinho just going to play every game for us now? But we don't know that. Jordan Henderson's back available for this game after suspension.
Also,
so
let's remember, that midfield, until we picked up injuries towards the end of last season, that was always rotated. It was the one, the front three never rotated, but that midfield always rotated. So maybe we're just seeing that again as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very interesting stuff. We'll talk more about preferred 11s in a moment. Before we do, I was lucky enough to speak to Liverpool legend John Barnes at a Western Union event down in London the other week. You'll have seen the vlog. If you've not, it's worth just to see how very, very weak my left foot is. But yeah, technically reasonable power. Now, Chris was really good though. But yeah, I spoke to John Barnes. The full and exclusive interview is up on the RedmenTV.com. Well, there's a little sneak peek.
And what was it like then for you in that period? Because you went through that, the era of Liverpool being the best team in the country, and you know, you changed as a player through that time as well. You went from the flying winger to more of like a midfielder.
Well, it wasn't a choice. Kind of thing. Well, no, of course. When I ruptured my Achilles tendon, I couldn't run anymore. That's what I had to do. But it doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. I'm not about in terms of looking at the transition, because it's not as if we won the league, all of a sudden we're not winning the league, and it's like, oh, we've gone from there to there. It's a slow process of us thinking we can still challenge, because come 92, 93, yes, we're going to win. It really took a year or two for me to then realise we're not going to be winning the league in this team that I'm in.
Yeah.
And that is more of a mindset of the team I'm in, the expectations, the atmosphere of, yes, we're still Liverpool, so we're a big club, we're a great club, but the demands of the players, not from the fans or from the staff, but the demands of players changing to then say, we are putting demands on ourselves to win. We put demands on ourselves to play well and to entertain, and we're going to score 5 goals, but if we lose, it doesn't, you know. Yeah. So that is when, you know, Liverpool probably went for a bit of a transitional period.
Yeah, brilliant fella. Some really, really interesting stuff. Obviously, he talks about the Newcastle thing. That was a really interesting point about him. When he knowing the difference between what a title winning side feels like to be involved in one, and then one that doesn't quite. And it's interesting from that entire perspective, and loads of little tidbits around his time joining Liverpool and what it meant and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, go to the RedmenTV.com, sign up. It's free for the first month, so literally you sign up, you put your details in, you get to watch that for nothing. You get to watch all the extra stuff. There's Klopp, there's Lucas, we've had stuff with Trent Alexander-Arnold, loads, there's loads and loads of great stuff, and all the usual pre and post-match content as well.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And then if you like it, you can keep it for just £5 a month, so do that. Preferred 11 time, gentlemen. Matty, I will start with you on this one. It took me a while because the sheet you handed me, you wrote your team in the complete opposite format to what I normally do, but I've got there, so excuse me if I've got people on the wrong side.
Trent, left back, Robbo, right back.
Yeah. You've gone Nathaniel Clyne to come in for this game, Dejan Lovren, VVD, Robbo, and then you've got a midfield. Is this 4-2-3-1 with Keita in the 10?
Yeah.
Interesting. Hendo, Fabinho, Holden.
Really?
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
Why?
Trent is goosed.
Yeah.
Right. We're in an intense period of games, and we will be continuing with this intense.
Didn't he just have a midweek game off?
I was just going to say.
Just had midweek off against PSG?
No, but he's just played this weekend, hasn't he?
He's 19.
Listen. We're going into
all last night afterwards in celebration.
Right.
Back in
the pop world off his head, Chris. He needs to have a rest.
We're going to be playing Napoli, right, which is a crucial game. Who would you play at right back?
Clyne or Trent?
Yeah.
Trent.
Right.
Or Gomez.
We're going to be playing United. Right.
They're weeks away, mate.
No, but the amount of games that we've got in between now and then. You know,
No.
Regardless, I'm not going to hang up on Klein because I think, first of all, at some point, if Trent picks up an injury later on in the season, you're gonna have to give players legs. And I know we haven't seen Klein play in a while. He was England's main right back. Yeah. It was only a couple of seasons ago. He's a forget. You know, we've got a short memory in football, haven't we?
But yeah.
Ultimately, he's not a crap player. I'm not saying put Marino in instead of Robbo. Do you know what I mean? Lovren, I think he needs.
I actually considered the Marino thing. By
Klein
the way.
And Lovren.
Klein and Lovren. I think the Lovren thing makes sense to me because they're going to play. They're going to hoof the ball up. They've got nothing but target men, haven't they? I don't think you necessarily need
you
Gomez.
You don't need the pace of Gomez.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas I think you will do against Bournemouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, that's precisely my thought
Keep
process.
Keep Lovren's eye in, absolutely. My thinking on it is that, and I'll do my team last, but Bournemouth should
you
be the biggest
You went
Klein
challenge. As well?
I've absolutely went Nathaniel Klein for this game.
Ahead.
Yeah, because for that, why not? I don't think we need to make too many changes, so I wouldn't be making sweeping changes to this side, but I think Bournemouth should be, it's easy to say that now, should be the real, it's going to be a technical test. They've got more pace, a bit more power, more technical guile. I think we need to go stronger at the weekend than we need to go in this game. So I agree with the rotation. I think Klein's an outside shot. I'm not saying I think he'll do it, but for me, give Gomez a week, because that's the thing. We're going to give Trent a game off so that he's fit. We're going to play Gomez. Well, where's Gomez getting his time off, basically? So, no, I'd be happy to rest both of them for this game.
Exactly.
But definitely
I'm
not
really surprised at that. Not because I think it's a ridiculous idea. Yeah. I'm just really surprised.
But don't be shocked to see Moreno. I think we'll either see Moreno or Klein in this game.
Robbo, dead leg from the weekend. Pick up a dead leg in the derby. That's right. That. So it actually might be more likely that you do see Moreno than Klein.
Yeah.
Oh, possibly,
Ben, then you've gone Trent, Lovren, again, Van Dijk, Robbo. The interesting thing you've done here, you've gone Sturridge to lead the line, mm-hmm. Shaqiri in behind, Salah and Mane either side.
Yeah, I think...
And Keita in with Fabinho.
Yeah, we've discussed Keita, why for the reasons for that. I don't think it's working the way we're doing it. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think Salah's great as a centre forward, and I think Firmino's not struggling, but I just think he's out of form. I think he could do with a rest, yeah. And I think this is probably an ideal game to do it. Sturridge is hungry for goals. I was so close to putting Origi in, but I thought it's probably a bit soon. But I think Salah, I prefer to play him out wide. He didn't play in this fixture last year. So to give him a run out would be good, I think. And I think Shaqiri, I think I'd like to see him a bit more in the middle. I was tempted to do a 4-3-3, but, it could be like that. It's a fluid thing.
Well, if we talk about the midfield thing, I don't think any of us truly felt, because we were being linked with Fekir, I don't think any of us truly felt we bought Shaqiri for the midfield until we thought, maybe we'll see more of that. But we talk about the revolutionising the midfield. Fabinho anchoring with Keita and Shaqiri would be it. You know what I mean? That would be our new look midfield.
That's your Pro Evo FIFA where you're sort of dun-dun-dun. Oh. Defensive mid, attacking mid in an offset triangle type of thing.
But that's our variation on what City do to some extent. It's leaving one guy in there to do it all and then getting as many bodies up there looking to overload, looking to have them worry about us. And maybe that's the thing because, we have been... It's tough because I think we're expending loads less energy. I think that's been an overriding game plan for the first half of the season to make sure we've got stuff in the tank. But if you're needing subs and late goals to win games, I still think we would prefer to get the game won in the first 60 minutes. It might be an option to do that, is to go balls to the wall and go as attacking.
It might be. I mean, it's my starting 11s. There's not many talking points other than Fabinho and Keita in there. I think you'll see it on the screen now. It's fairly standard. I've gone a normal back five, Fabinho and Keita. The interesting one for me is actually Matty's that we didn't really talk about, is that you had Keita in the 10. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's an interesting talking point for me because I don't know whether he's a 10, but you can certainly play a 4-3-3 and invert the pyramid with him. Mm-hmm. And that for me, it's not 4-2-3-1. It's not the 4-3-3 that we've been used to. But it's a halfway ground. And I think that is where we might see Keita
getting into the 10 position because he's the one challenged to move forwards, like Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was. But it's certainly not what we're playing now with Bobby in there as well. So is that what you were thinking? Well,
the reason why I put him in the 10 is because I went for Hendo and Fabinho in behind and I put him in the 10. Because the type of game that is, it's a very physical game, but and their current run of form, I don't think it's going to be a massive challenge. But putting him in the 10 gives him that free rein. He doesn't have to worry about going behind him, even though his style of play, he will naturally do that. But he's not going to be crucified if he makes an error defensively, because ultimately he's playing in the 10.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my thought process, and I think he'd thrive there, to be honest. I think he'd do really
he's
well.
He's got the skills.
Yeah.
He's got the skills.
Yeah, but he's due just that stride, not like Oxlade-Chamberlain's goal against Man City in the Champions League, just to stride forward and just smack one in the bottom corner. I think he's got that in it, and I think he's been hinting at having that, you know, that it's been coming. And you know, sometimes
all,
does,
for me, when I've seen him, I've enjoyed what I've watched. You know, he's had a couple of games where you think not great, but it's felt very much start of the season like he was on a leash. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe that's to do with the fact that he's probably the only player that Jürgen signed and thrown straight into the midfield. And, you know, he's just saying to him, listen, work your way in there. We'll start to understand it a bit more. I saw it against Everton the other night, where the front three in the 4-2-3-1 actually changed positions for the first time. You know, I noticed a good 5-minute period around the 37th minute where Shaqiri and Mane completely switched wings. This is what Jurgen Klopp will do. I feel he's gone. This is the formation that we're going to play. When you get used to it, we'll add the bells and whistles. And I think he's going to do exactly the same with Naby Keita in the centre of the park.
It's a footy manager thing of, like, you know, being disciplined and adding more fluidity and creative freedom once they know
without thinking what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is very, very interesting. Again, keep coming down to it. We don't know. More than likely, I think, because in terms of your what you've gone for there, it makes sense. We won't make anything too drastic. So the big change might just be that it's Keita and Fabinho. It could be Henderson and Keita. You know what I mean? Just as likely, because obviously Henderson needs games under his belt to get him back up to speed. Which I'm sure will be just, you know, people will be gnashing their teeth at home listening to me say that, but so be it. Maybe you won't, but I do feel like this is a good opportunity because we. I mean, everyone. We're fortunate in something that you've referenced in the past. We're entering that period now where even the smaller, well, the non-European sides, as it were, are playing two games a week. So, like, but we're going to Bournemouth, who will have had to handle playing two games in a week the same way as us, and we're in a more natural rhythm to handle that kind of thing. Like, but I think if we can find a way to make a couple of changes, keep ourselves fresh, and then go completely, you know, go as full strength as we possibly can against Bournemouth, that should hopefully give us far too much.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to for me. It's always an important time, isn't it? When the Champions League sort of is wrapping up, has wrapped up, those smaller squads start to struggle more and the league naturally sort of takes on its shape that it's going to look like come the end of the season, because they're just not used to playing two games a week.
But it's underestimated how good we've been. And again, it's City with ruin in the context of this. The top four teams always drop points, and they're always a
Champions League hangover. No one's mentioned it this year, Paul.
Not talked about it at all.
Because we've been having it in the fucking Champions League away from home.
Having a Premier League hangover.
Having a bevy abroad, that's what we've been doing.
Absolutely, but that's the thing, you know, we've managed to cope better with the coming back than we have with the literally going away. But no, just a few things on Berlin, just to note that they haven't won a game since the 30th of September in any competitions. They beat Cardiff 2-1 away. They did beat Bournemouth 4-0 at home the week before, which was interesting. They've lost 5-0 to City away and 4-0 to Chelsea at home. That was the big one for me, the Chelsea. I remember thinking at the time, it'd be a test if Burnley could be a bit more like last season. Let's hope that they're not, they don't decide to do it this time around. But that's another thing for me, is that I'm kind of not. It'd be nice for us to follow suit a little bit and put a few goals past them. It is encouraging that they've been shit this season. But once again, it's another one for me where I'm just... Get the 3 points.
It reeks a little bit like Swansea at the moment last season, yeah, where it can be a potential banana peel. You know, they're in the relegation zone, but we've improved ourselves. You know,
but like City battered Huddersfield, you know what I mean, and that Huddersfield game was a real struggle for us. But all of us looking back at it now and going, okay, 3 points. Sound let us never watch the highlights of that game ever again, and whatever. I've said this. You know, this next couple of weeks is so pivotal to how the league's gonna shape up, that the win is going to be far more important than how we go about achieving it. Let's talk about the rivals then. Obviously, a full calendar of midweek fixtures. Watford City on Tuesday, Chris. Reckon?
I like that. I think them playing Tuesday is obviously better for us, but I think they just steamroll them again, to be honest. I'm looking for that drop-off in form, and I'm not seeing it coming anytime soon.
Any takers on Watford?
They were looking impressive. Obviously, they beat Tottenham early in the season, but we beat them pretty comfortably in the end, and I just think City are going to go out and battle them.
And moving on to the Wednesday then, obviously, we're our game. Wolves hosting Chelsea, there's potential there, of course. I've put Everton in because I put United in, and Everton above United in the table. So, Everton...
that goal difference.
Yeah. Everton hosts Newcastle, which they're dead... the Toffees are dead confident about, and I think Rafa's going to Rafa them, because I say this every
Rafa week. Very rarely Rafa's anyone anymore.
These days, because Newcastle are shite. Man United host Arsenal. Matt, it's a game that's being billed by some Manchester United fan channels as Jose Mourinho's last game in charge.
Nah, that's when we play.
Oh, well, I'd love him to win it then, just so he's in charge for another few years. You know, just
that's 2 years with the one game.
Let's drip feed.
He knows how to play the media. He could probably dip 3 years out of a game.
Yeah. Luke Shaw, he'll literally have him crucified on the centre circle.
Arsenal are going to tonk them. Or Fellaini's going to score it, and they're going to win one.
I think
Fellaini will score a perfect hat trick head and left.
I think
he can't do that.
Mourinho is going to Mourinho his way through that fixture, and United will either get a horrible draw or they'll snatch a horrible, horrible win. And just because Arsenal just got a bit too much wind in the sails at the moment,
19 unbeaten.
It's funny because Arsenal have an Everton complex when it comes to Man United at Old Trafford. It just doesn't matter. Form seems to go out the window for them. They just always seem to get beat at Old Trafford, much like Spurs always seem to bottle it at Arsenal, that sort of thing. So it'd be interesting, given the form Man United are in, is this the time for Arsenal to step up and do it? And I think it's possible. I mean, Lacazette and Aubameyang, look, for that goal from Aubameyang yesterday, that second goal where he just hits it first time, but that's such a good finish.
Yeah.
And they've got strikers firing at that confidence.
It's win-win for your casual YouTube following football fan, isn't it, that game? Because either way,
Arsenal fan TV, United stands, I love it, Paul, love it.
A bit of full-time, though, whatever. You see him... People, and we know a few of the people involved in there, and by and large, the decent people, but it's still, I mean, it's kind of like that, the B Sharps thing in The Simpsons, where it's a name, that we want a name that gets slightly less funny every time you hear it. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of diminishing returns on it, and then every now and again, someone pulls out an absolute worldie of meltdown. So that'll be interesting, if nothing else. And Spurs hosting the currently managerless Southampton.
Danny Ings for the hat-trick.
Danny Ings for the win. Yeah, I'll take that.
Perfect hat-trick.
Yeah.
Now he can do it.
Matty, score prediction? For us.
Yeah. And Wolves, Everton, United.
Yeah, just give me 5 minutes. I'll go 4-0.
Right. Ben?
1-0.
2-0 Liverpool.
I'll take a 2-0 Liverpool. Again, shades of Watford ended up 3, but I said at the time I want shades of Palace away in that one. Get your goal, get another goal to put it to bed. Fine. And then we just roll on to Bournemouth. I could live with that. Let me know your score predictions then in the comments below. We've got an interview with Jamie Carragher coming out, Chris. You went to a cracker factory.
I did, and they wouldn't let me play Cracker Bash.
Aww.
Any OG Red Men fans will remember Cracker Bash.
Yeah, absolutely. So stay tuned for that. Of course, the John Barnes interview and loads of amazing content. If you're not over the Merseyside derby yet and you want to see more match reaction and an analysis from that one, like we do every single game, get to the redmentv.com. Monday night is the last night to order Christmas sweatshirts.
Yes,
right?
It is. Well, you got about 5 hours from when this video goes live.
Perfect. So yeah, if you're watching this video on a Monday night and you haven't ordered your Christmas
4 hours, 40 minutes now.
Yeah, absolutely. Get it done. This is last chance saloon, so get it ordered. And other than that, guys, thank you very much. Yes, if we get tickets, we'll be there. If we don't, we'll be here. But either way, there'll be post-match content. Check it out. We'll see you soon. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.